fun movie. We're going to be talking about the themes in that movie. We're not watching the movie. We're not even preaching on the movie. We're going to talk about the themes in that movie, how they connect, intersect, contradict the Bible. We're going to look at that. A little summary of the movie, a little bit of light spoilers here. I won't spoil anything major. Maverick has a history of doing his own thing, going his own way, and they don't really like that in the military. But because of his experience, they recruit him in to recruit top pilot or to train top pilots on this very, very dangerous mission to stop some unnamed country from developing weapons of mass destruction. And it requires them to push themselves in a series of training runs. They learn to trust Maverick. They learn to trust each other. They learn to work together. But along the way, Maverick and others have to deal with their past. They have history together, especially Maverick and one of the pilots named Rooster, who's the son of his former Rio named Goose. And so they have to deal with that. He has to deal with his past of insubordination. He has to deal with his past with Rooster. He has to deal with his past with his love interest in this movie named Penny Benjamin. So they have to work out their past to be able to fulfill the mission together. And here's a quick little clip about Rooster. All right, so main themes in the movie. There's a lot of them, but a few that I'm going to highlight. First is courage. The courage to go on a mission like this, to push yourself. The courage to make hard decisions. There's some hard decisions that are made by people along the way. That takes a lot of courage, knowing that there's a lot at stake. Second kind of big theme, this is a big theme in the movie. I almost decided to speak on this one because the Bible says a lot about authority and rebellion. Jesus didn't fit all of society's plans, didn't fit all the kind of expectations of him. Maverick marches to his own beat, kind of does his own things. That's good, that's bad. The movie kind of plays through that. But in the end, it kind of helps him push further. And even the person in charge at one point says, I guess I have to ignore the rules and risk my career on you. So there's some themes in there in the movie about that. But the theme we're really going to talk about today is unpacking your baggage and dealing with your pain. It was a big theme in the first movie. If you know the first movie, is that his family had a history in the Navy and he was dealing with that. And that affected the way he flew. And everyone kept asking that. Is that why you fly the way you fly? Is because of your past? And so he had to deal with that, and he had to deal with letting go of multiple things in the first movie. Very similar theme in this one. How do you unpack your past? Rooster has a past. Maverick has a past. They got to deal with these things, unpack them, and let them go so that they can fly faster. It's one of the big themes of this. You got to go fast. They had to deal with that so they could keep moving on. So we're going to pray. We're going to dive into that theme in the Bible. We're going to look at Moses. Did he have a past? Oh, yeah, he hit a pass. We're going to look at him. We're going to talk about some themes we can learn from there and unpack that together. Let's pray. God, thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Thank you for everyone joining us online. Lord, be with us. Every single one of us has been hurt. We all have. And we all got baggage that we're carrying. And the only question is, are we going to acknowledge it? Are we going to deal with it? Lord, the fact is we've also hurt others. And are we going to deal with that? Are we just going to act like it's no big deal? Lord, I want to pray for all of us today as we unpack this theme together. Help us to look inside our souls and help us to know that you're with us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I said we're going to look at Moses. Let me ask you, any people in the Bible got some baggage? Who you got? Who you got? Leave me some names. David's got some baggage, did some things wrong. Yeah. Paul, Peter, yes. David, again, Saul, yes. Joseph, yeah, a little bit, okay. What about Mary Magdalene? What about Ruth? Oh, you don't know her story, you can check that out, okay. Everyone's got some baggage, and I just want to kind of highlight all those themes and all the people you guys just mentioned, and we can keep going through names in the Bible, because sometimes we look and go, well, they all have baggage, and God still used them, but then we're afraid to admit our own baggage. We're afraid to go, I got something maybe that I got to deal with in my life because that would make me bad. Well, if God could use them, then he can use us, right? Moses had some baggage. You got a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. If you want to use one of the Bibles we have out here, it's on page 48. And I want to encourage you to read along with us. There might be some verses you want to highlight. If you want to take notes in our bulletin, you can take it in your phone. Follow along here. There might be some things you go, this is something I need to really be thinking about in my life. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 15 says this. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, And he saw how hard they were forced to work. And during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The next day when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "Why are you beating up your friend?" Moses said to the one who had started the fight. And the man said, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge?" If you don't know, that's a little bit of foreshadowing. "Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses was, what? Afraid, thinking everyone knows what I did. And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. First little point here, failure feeds fear. Failure feeds fear. Moses had made a mistake. He actually had done something wrong. So have you, so have I. We've all made mistakes. And what most of us do is we just run away from the consequences. We don't want to deal with it. Okay, we just go, "I'm just going to leave it all behind." And when we don't deal with it, that becomes baggage in our lives. And it holds us back from what God has made us to do. God has made Moses to be a liberator of his people, to write down the greatest law code that the world had ever seen. That's what God had made Moses to do. And he's running out into the desert because he won't deal with his mistake. And I wish this was just a story that was thousands of years old, but I hear it again and again and again from God's people who love Jesus, but they will not deal with their failure. They run away from it. They justify it. They come up with explanations for it. They try to minimize it. I've even seen people held back from their potential because they're afraid of the possibility of sinning. The possibility of failure, because we live in a world, whether you realize it or not, we live in a world, even in the West, that is now covered in shame. There are things that have changed in our world where you are probably afraid of, if I do this, what are people going to say about me? How is that news going to get out? Is that going to go viral? And we struggle with shame, and so we won't even risk failure because we're afraid. So failure feeds fear. The fear of failure feeds fear, and then we're afraid to go out there and risk and fail and mess up and learn from our mistake and go forward. Okay? This is where Moses is at. He's running from who he is, from what God called him to do. It's funny, though, because Moses can't really run away from it. He runs away, and there's some women being harassed at a watering hole, and Moses saves them because he's just kind of a liberator. He didn't do the right thing in Egypt. But it's just kind of who he is. And he catches the eye of one of these women, and they get married. So in chapter 3, he's now married, tending sheep. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. And Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses replied, "Here I am." Failure feeds fear, but fascination, wonder, amazement fractures fear. Fractures fear. I've taken so many people who are struggling with shame or depression or anxiety or their past or what they have done to others or what others have done to them, and you get them up on top of a mountain and it's just sort of like, "I get it. I get it. I can finally deal with it, but first I needed to see this wonderful beauty. I'm staring at the ocean, realizing that God has said he's tossed my sins away to the depths of the ocean floor. I don't have to carry it anymore. And I've been carrying it. I've seen people look at a sunset at night and we're reflecting and we're just going, where are you and God right now? And they just go, I have been so busy, so crazy. My life is filled up to the second. And the second I get just a second, I'm instantly on a screen. I cannot stop and look inside of my own soul. I'm afraid. And then you put him in front of wonder. And the wonder gets you looking in. Fascination fractures fear. Moses' heart was moved. Our hearts can be moved. I want to encourage you, if you're struggling, get out with somebody and look at some wonderful things. Get into that nature. Get into creation. God speaks to us in those ways. It can be walking. It doesn't have to be far away. But it makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. Okay? And Moses said, here I am. Now, really important to note, fascination is not enough to overcome fear and shame. It's not enough to overcome failure. You have to actually take action. It's just the beginning. I love how God doesn't say, Moses, this is your job. You see that? He doesn't go, Moses, set my people free. He goes, there's a burning bush. What is that? Come over here. Moses, here I am. Moses, take off your shoes. Oh my goodness, it's God. There's this step and process of wonder. God is so good. He knows where you're at. He knows your pain. He's just going to draw you in. But in order to really overcome your fear, in order to really actually live into your potential, the way he's called you to be, the way he's made you to be, you're going to have to be put into action. That's the next thing. Next verse. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And when Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. God sees. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. I'm aware of their suffering, so I have come down. I have come down. It's going to be important in a second. To rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. A land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. So go, I am sending you to Pharaoh. I think up to this point, Moses is like, God's coming down. God's going to arrest you. Sounds great. Wait, me? Wait, me? You must lead my people out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I? You see the failure there? You see how it's become his identity? Who am I to lead? Who am I? This is how he actually sees himself. His failure has become his identity. Does this happen to us? I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Moses probably had a stuttering problem. Who am I to speak in front of Pharaoh? Who am I to write? Who am I to lead? I was told by people, are you our leader? Are you our judge? And he's owned that now. Most people think he's out there for 40 years. This has become his identity. Who am I? And that's the same voice many of you repeat in your own head. The voice of your critics has become your own voice. And it's the voice you repeat to yourself over and over again. Some of you even think it's the voice of God talking to you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're not good enough. It's not. God is talking to Moses. And Moses loves God. And Moses is saying to God, I can't do it. You ever said that to God? Can't do it. I can't do it. Can't do it. Who am I? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And I want you to just check out God's answer. He doesn't go and hype up Moses and say, you're the best. You're beautiful. You're the most wonderful person ever. You got all the talent in the whole world. He doesn't say any of that. That's not how God deals with our failures. What does God say? What does it say? I will be with you. In a world of self-help and overhyping each other up, God's answer is not that you're so great. It's that he will be with you. I'm going to try that again, all right? In a world of self-help and everyone hyping each other up, and I can't be around anyone who doesn't affirm me endlessly, God deals with our shame and doesn't say, you're so great. He says, I'm going to call you to do something that's very hard, very impossible, and his only promise is, I will be with you. Right? Can you take that into your life right now? With the things that God is asking you to do? You see in the movie, they're dealing with their shame. They're dealing with their past. But it's all done without God. It's all done in a good way. We're talking about it. We need to process it. We need to unpack it. But there's this sense of like, well, what do we do with that past of what we've done wrong? Oh, we just accept it and move on. God's way is different. He deals with it. And there's a way he actually says, no, your failure has been put onto me. I am carrying it. And if I am carrying it, then why are you still carrying it? God deals with our failures. He forgives our failures. But I want you to check out what God's doing here. God is not ignoring Moses' failures. Moses, like I said, is going to write the greatest legal code that the world had ever seen. But inside of that legal code, don't forget who it was written by. And inside of that legal code, it includes mercy. It includes justice. It includes not that the king is above the people. Nothing the world had seen had ever been like that. It's powerful. If God has let it go, so can you. He doesn't dwell on it endlessly. He deals with your failure, but he doesn't dwell on your failure. He deals with your failure, but he doesn't dwell on your failure. He is ready to deal with it. And he is ready to have you let it go so you can move on into the future that he has for you. That's what God is calling you to do. Moses doesn't want anything to do this. Five times in these two chapters, he objects to God. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I can't speak well enough. I can't. He just goes on and on and on. Chapter 4, verse 10, turn there. We're going to read the fourth excuse that Moses tries to give. Moses pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. And the Lord asked Moses later on, says he gets angry with him, who made a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not hear? Do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you on what to say. God is not going to quit on you. He will deal with your problems. He will deal with your sin. He's not going to let you ignore it forever. He's going to deal with it. You want to run away with it and not run away from it and not deal with it. God doesn't want to do that. He came to die on the cross because he's dealing with our junk. And we just want to go, that's no big deal. I'm just sweeping under the carpet. No big deal. I'm just going to carry that burden. And God wants to deal with it because Moses is meant for more. And for most people in this room and most people watching online, you are meant for more. And you know it and you feel it and you have that longing inside of you and you're going. And then if you go long enough, you just go, but there's no point in dreaming. There's no point in hoping anymore. No point in changing. One of the things I love about this church is we have people in their 60s and 70s coming alive in their faith and going, I never knew I could have this in my life. I can let it go. I can live free. I want to pass it on to the young people in their 50s. That's what they say, right? So they can actually live that out. They can live into that freedom. Don't wait until that end. God is trying to focus on your future. But we got to deal with it. And most of us don't want to. You have to understand that you're living in a world that is massively tilted to distracting you from this work. You exist for them for advertising dollars. And that means they're going to take your attention. If you're going to do this work with God, God's going to call you. And you've known this. You've had this at some point in your life. I know it. That God says, there's a bush burning. And you hear his voice. Will you turn and check out that wonderful bush? Or will you say, I got a new show to watch. I got a new game to play. I got something going on with my kids. I got a bill to pay. I got an overtime to do. Will you actually live into the future that God has for you? Because it is awesome. But he's going to deal with your mess. Okay, we all have baggage. Many of you know that I love to backpack, right? Main thing we're talking about is unpack your baggage and follow Jesus without fear. Okay, I love to backpack. Backpackers have like whole magazines where we talk about gear. This is my backpack. I'm going backpacking this week. It's pretty heavy. I again need another volunteer to put on this backpack. You have to be able to carry it. It's pretty heavy. Come on, somebody's going to do it. Somebody do it. Chris, come on up. Come on up. Let's give Chris a hand as she comes on up. All right. Now you're going to come up at the end as well. Now this is pretty heavy. All right. So I'm going to try and hoist this up. Go ahead and put this on. You got the other strap there. It's a little tight. There we go. All right. Chris, how is that? Is that heavy?
Yeah, it's heavy.
It's very heavy. You want to go like a, you know, 10, 12 mile hike with that thing?
No.
No? Not so much? Right? It feels pretty heavy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to come up in a minute after we unpack some points, and we're going to see the difference in that hike and the difference it makes and how far you think you can go.
Okay.
Okay, that sound good? Let's give Chris a hand. All right. All right, backpackers like to talk about gear. When we run into each other in the backcountry, we talk about gear. What are you carrying? What are you doing? What kind of stuff do you have in there? We like to talk about our gear. Okay, most people in life, what I find is they don't even acknowledge they have a backpack. They don't even acknowledge they have one. I got nothing. I got no past. I got no history. I got no problems. I got no pain. I haven't hurt anyone and no one's hurt me. I am pain free. And if you say that to them, they go, well, of course. I mean, just like everybody, I got stuff in my life. And is any of it slowing you down? No, no. You understand? That is already a micro form of shame. You can't even admit you have some stuff to deal with because in order to admit it, you feel like you would be bad. You feel like you would be less than. We're just like Moses. We're running away. Backpackers don't do that. We all know we're carrying gear. So number one, acknowledge your baggage. You cannot change what you refuse to acknowledge. You cannot change what you refuse to acknowledge. How many people have you talked to? How many people have I talked to who are like, yeah, I got that in my life, but it's no big deal. Okay? You are carrying some baggage with you. Acknowledge it. Admit it. Okay? Number two is you need to unpack your past. You need to unpack that baggage with people. Here's what's in my gear. And everything is in here. There's some stuff that's missing. Food, water, you know, important stuff like that. Okay, I'm a hammock guy, so here's my hammock and my straps. Right here is my sleeping bag. All right, so that's good. Okay, you need that. And when you're unpacking your past, here's bear spray. You need to do this with the right people. Okay, this could be a therapist. This could be your friends. Quick note here, this may not always be the person that you hurt or the person that hurt you. That might not be appropriate. Sometimes it is, many times it is, but it might not always be. Okay, I got a little headlamp here. This is my headlamp, okay. I got a emergency beacon. That's super helpful, okay. And then I got some clothing. You know, it's all good. It's my long underwear. It gets cold at night up there. Down jacket, okay, that's good. Oh, and then, look, wait a second. Why do I need old shoes that are falling apart, okay, here? I don't really need these. This is just extra baggage. These are like my workday shoes, so I don't really want to take those backpacking. I actually don't even want to do these because I have different backpacking pants. These are a lot heavier. A lot of people like, you know, wearing jeans. I don't. That's not my thing. Air mattress, that's good. Okay, I got a kind of a beanie. Got a tarp tent there. That's really good. And then, wait a second. What is this in here? I didn't realize this was in here. I had to do some digging around in here. And this is what we've been carrying. And this is what you have been carrying. And we just go, it's no big deal. I don't have time to unpack my crap. And I am carrying this around in my whole life. And we're walking around with that backpack. You need to unpack your baggage. This is a mess. And some of you are so afraid of messes that you're not willing to actually create a mess to clean up, to create a mess to organize, create a mess to look and go, what do I really want to be taking with me? Maybe I don't want those shoes. I definitely don't want this. I'm not using this in the backcountry. Okay? I don't necessarily need this. Nothing wrong with this, but this isn't for me. I don't need all this stuff. There's no backpacker who's going any decent mileage who's like, I just took a whole bunch of extra weight just because, just to see if I could do it. That's not how we think. But that's how many of us think. We won't deal with it. We won't unpack it. And many of us go, I did it alone. Because in the Bible, when you read the Bible, people are always just doing things alone, right? No, they're with people. They're unpacking it together. You got to do it with the right people. Years ago, I was asked to go to spiritual direction with the spiritual director, and it was mandatory. I had no option in it. And I walked in, and he said, why do you think we're here? And I said, I don't even need to be here. I don't need to do relationship stuff. I'm fine. And he said, well, let's talk about it. We have to meet for four times. Let's just talk about it and do with it. And he said, why do you think you were asked to come here? I said, I know why I was asked to come here, because I was asked to leave a job 5 years prior. And when I told the story, I was a little bit angry. And he said, are you angry? I said, I kind of am a little bit angry. Here's what happened. And they were wrong and I was right. And this is what they did. And this is what happened. And I just stopped after telling that story, a little bit worked up, a little bit agitated. I guess I know why I'm here, I said. And off we went. And we looked at it together. We looked at it together. And I had to learn, and this is totally different than what you might have to learn, that the way you tell your story matters. And when I told my story as a hurt person, it showed that I hadn't let it go yet. And the denomination, in their wisdom, didn't lecture me. They said, you need to go talk to a spiritual director for a month. And I hated that they said that. But they loved me enough to require it. You need to unpack your baggage with the right people. It took months for me to process that and to grow and to mature. And I'm a better person. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better follower of Jesus because of it. I've learned that the last step of the healing process is the way you tell the story. Can I pass that on to all of you? It's not our main point, but as a point that I want to share with many of you. The way you tell the story is part of your healing process. Think about it. Okay, the third step is then you need to choose what to carry. Okay, we're definitely not taking this. We don't want that with us. But we need to choose what we carry. Here's the thing. Hikers, they can't go as far as backpackers because they have to always return to base camp. Right? So you always know when you're running into backpackers in the backcountry because you're in places where a hiker could never get in a day. You're 30, 40 miles back. Right? God wants you to go further. If you're going to go further, there are some things you're going to have to carry. Okay? Faith is somewhat of a burden. There's some things that come with faith that are going to be a little bit of a weight. And so you go, you know what? I think I want a sleeping bag in the backcountry. That's probably important. Would you agree? Okay, if you don't agree, let's have a talk about backpacking afterwards if you want. But you need to bring your sleeping bag. It needs to be rated for the right weather, all that stuff. You need some form of shelter. Again, I do kind of a hammock tarp system. We're going to pack this up with us. There are certain things that you need to bring with you. That's like the burdens of family, the burdens of love. Love is a burden to carry. And I've known people say, I don't want to carry that burden. And here's the fact. You can't go as far then. I've seen people in ministry say, I don't really want to deal with people. And I go, you can try that way. You won't go as far. You will not be able to accomplish as much if you don't learn how to deal with people. Because people are part of ministry. Right? You got to learn how to do these things. You go, hey, I have some things in my life. I'm going to have some obligations in my life. I'm going to make sure I'm taking the things that I need to take on my trip and bringing that in. And when you do that, you actually can go further than you could have before. You can go further for two reasons. One is you have the right gear, and the other thing is that it's much lighter. Let's invite Chris back up. Come on, Chris, you can do it. Here we go. All right. What's that feel like? What's that difference?
Can you get my arm?
You get it? It looks the same, but it's totally different. And she can go much further now. Okay? We're going to pray. And I'm going to talk about next week and things coming up. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you offer to unpack our baggage. Lord, it's not that we don't need therapists and friends and clergy and groups in our lives, Lord. It's just that we can't do all those things without you. It's through your son dying on the cross that means we can let it go. And if you have taken our burdens, may we let them go. God, I want to pray for every person in here right now about the baggage that they're carrying. Help them to let it go. Help them to have a conversation with someone, whether it's a pastor, friend, whoever it is, Lord. Help them to deal with it and know that they're not alone. You are with them. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Let me grab that from you. There you go. There you go. All right, coming up next week, we are going to be watching the movie Arrival. We're going to watch that preview in just a minute. Keep praying. Keep inviting people. God at the Movies is a great time to bring people in. We do it with joy. We do it with hope. We have a lot of fun. Next week is potluck, so we're going to be eating together between services. Bring a dish to share. Hang out with us. Come early if you typically come to second service. We are excited. Today we're doing communion. We had a new person come to church a few weeks ago, and they said, hey, I've never done communion before. What is it really all about, and what does it mean? Our church is a church for people who have never been to church and who are just exploring Christianity. They are coming in and asking those questions. I want to encourage you, keep inviting people. Keep doing that. Keep joining teams. Keep being part of building this church family. I'm having a blast with all of you as we dive in and look at God's word together. Okay, so in a minute we're going to do communion. But first, we're going to watch the clip for Arrival. Watch it on your own at some point this week if you want. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can stream it for free. Or if you're just looking for a place to stream it, you can pay for the rental. It's like $3 or $4. All right, let's watch this trailer.